Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Oh boy, all you folks that like to go to Disney World, Disneyland, you guys have been misbehaving. This item just coming in. Disney World has decided they're going to have to ban guests from eating and drinking while walking around the park. Now, Caleb and Avery, are you guys the big amusement park fellas?
Yeah, I've been to Disney several times.
Yeah, me too.
What do you call the Disney fans? Are you like Mouseketeers? Isn't there a name for the Disney fans?
I don't know. I don't wear the mouse ears, if that's what you're getting at.
I don't either.
Well, you know, the last time, you know, I was giving a speech in Anaheim at an event there. It's at the Grand Californian, which is part of the Disneyland complex. And so you're just kind of, you know, there in this beautiful resort with, you know, 50,000 people. Most of them have screaming children and four-wheel drive, you know, baby
four-wheel drive strollers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But by and large, the majority of people there were individuals well over the age of 25. Who were wearing the mouse ears and the full regalia.
A lot of people like to do it for, like, anniversary things or stuff like that.
Yeah, look,
people honeymoon there now.
Yeah, I don't judge. It is what it is. You know, it's a fun place. You know, is it the happiest place on Earth?
Happiest place on Earth.
Okay.
That's what they call it.
I don't know if that applies to Disney World, but that was what Disneyland was always called.
I thought it was Dollywood. That's a pretty happy.
Hey, Dollywood's good. I'm not going to knock that.
Anyway, they're banning people from eating and drinking while walking because people were using that loophole to avoid wearing the face mask.
Okay, now eating I can sort of somewhat understand. Okay, how are you supposed to walk around Disney? If you ever tried to walk around Disney all day, you're going to have to drink some water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have to.
You've got to. You got to. Hey, do we have Dr. Chappell on the line, guys?
We do.
Oh, okay. Jeez, I completely forgot. How do we forget Dr. Paul Chappell? He's my pastor, for crying out loud. Dr. Chappell, I'm really sorry.
That's all right, Todd. I mean, you were talking about something very important, you know, Disneyland. So,
well, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church in California, also the president of West Coast Baptist College. You know, Dr. Chappell, I think people are just, they're exhausted by all of this. You know, it just never seems, it never seems to stop.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think in the Christian realm, I sense with churches that you have, you know, some folks that are just showing some signs of the fatigue. But you also have those that are realizing this is a long-term battle, and we've got to dig in and outlast it with God's help.
I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, the landscape there of Southern California. You guys are in the high desert area, which is literally a desert. You have the tumbleweeds and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, there's this beautiful oasis, which is the church and the college. And you guys had service yesterday, and it's interesting. I really sort of walked back some of the language I've been using to describe what the Christians in California are doing. We've been saying that you guys have been defying the governor's order not to have church. But honestly, what you guys are doing is, I believe, obeying the command of God. And you are also engaging in activities that are protected by the United States Constitution.
Absolutely. And from the very onslaught, you know, most of the churches, including ours, and we try to actually set a testimony example with respect to safety and, you know, some social distancing and, you know, all of those things. So we're not indifferent towards that, but we also are going to hold to our constitutional right to gather and freely worship. And, you know, as we've said before, if people can walk across the street and go to Walmart or the liquor store, we feel they should be able to come to church. But, you know, we're up here in northern L.A. County, and what's interesting, and this is happening across the country, is that the city centers of the large cities are establishing the protocols, and then they're laying it across all regions of their authority and realms of their authority. And what happens is areas like ours that are a little more spread out, we don't have such a dense population, we're having more onerous rules put upon us in these times. And so rather than let the local government, you know, work to allow for worship or other activities, everyone has to abide by these same rules. But I'll tell you, Todd, what's really interesting to me is that secular humanism got a grip into our educational system. No God, no borders, no authority. And that philosophy has gripped the unions, specifically the teachers' unions. And what's happened recently with our Christian schools is that Governor Newsom is saying that public and private schools cannot open. And what's happening there, the public school teachers get paid whether they open or not, but it's punishing to the private Christian schools. And so we have, you know, those in authority bowing down to the powerful unions, and in the process, the children are going to be devastated, and the private schools will be hurt as well. So I see that as the next battle coming. But as far as worship is concerned, we had a great service yesterday. We had well over 1,000 people under the shadow of our West Wing. We sang and preached and had a great time, as did hundreds of other churches.
In the desert. This is what is so amazing about this story. It's 1,000 people in the desert at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
Well, it was 84 degrees when we started, and it was 94 when we stopped. And so I told the guys, no ties tomorrow. You know, everybody dressed cool. But everyone was so happy because we've been having these smaller services, like 7 of them inside. But no one ever gets to see their friends, you know. So yesterday we kind of had a little bit of a homecoming out there.
We have some great video, folks, of the service, and it was just really amazing. ToddStearns.com. And I would encourage you to take a listen to the message that was delivered. It was just a neat spirit, and it wasn't one of anger or, you know, in-your-face Governor Newsom. This was American citizens practicing their rights under the Constitution. I just thought it was a pretty neat day.
Right. The theme of the day was the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, and just trying to help our church family realize that in the midst of trouble, even in David's life in the Old Testament, God was still with him and for him. And our people are really holding to that truth. We have the concerns for the virus, but we also have the concerns for our freedom, and we don't want to let that go in the middle of this. And so it was great to worship God yesterday.
So, and you're right, though, there are other issues, though, and there are legal issues at play here. Does the governor have the right to tell churches how they can worship? The Supreme Court says, yes, they do, in a flawed decision. There is a brand new lawsuit that's been filed, and that issue is whether or not Christians can sing together in, you know, as a corporate body,
right,
which I guess you guys broke the law yesterday. It was very, very lovely singing, but illegal in the eyes of the governor.
Right. No, I'm aware of that lawsuit. And I mean, these are the types of things that really the church, we were told first by the state when to worship. Now we're being told how to worship. And, you know, these are precedents, Todd, that if we don't stand up, this will be something in years to come that the noose will only tighten, in my opinion. So I'm thankful that we have some pastors out here that are standing up to these issues.
I love what you said in your introduction to the crowd. And again, we're kind of on the front lines of this war, and we get a little crazy on this show at times. But you reminded people in the opening of the service about carnal Christians and how, you know, being flexible and doing that,
right,
you know, not getting riled up. Tell our listeners what you were talking about.
Well, I just said that, you know, someone that's carnal or just ticked off all the time, they'll take any small thing and make it bigger. But someone that's spiritual, they can take a bigger problem and bring it down to something smaller. And I was commending our church for being spiritual, because we have switched service times 10 times probably in the last 4 months. We've you know, had to do so many things, including sitting out in the heat yesterday. And I was just commending them instead of complaining. They've just been pivoting and moving with it. And I was telling them that's the sign of a spiritual church. And we're going to need that measure of God's grace and that inner strength to survive these times. And I believe the church will come through it. There may be some sifting. You know, I'm told of some folks that are kind of faltering across the country spiritually and not tuning into live stream or not trying to stay attentive in their spiritual walk. But I think that the true believers that love the Lord and walk in discipleship, they'll come through this stronger. And that's where I was trying to commend our church, just to keep growing in your spiritual walk through the trial.
Well, I think you did a terrific job of that, and I got, like, convicted in the process. I'm like, geez, Lou, I got to lighten up a little bit on the show.
Well, don't lighten up too much, but, you know, the Lord will help you. I think all of us go through those times where we're overcome with the onslaught of culture shift and the attitude against God, against things that are precious, against our founding fathers. And so there's a line, Todd, between righteous indignation and just flat out getting ticked off, and we all cross it sometimes.
My call screener, I don't mean to rat him out or anything, but call screener Avery, when I get Star Wars and Star Trek mixed up, he gets really upset, and he's a Baptist, you know, but he gets a little riled up. But.
Well, that's sacred ground for some people. We understand that.
All right, Pastor Dr. Chappell, thank you for coming on the program. It's always fun, and we appreciate your wisdom and really your guidance through some of these difficult days that we're going through as a country.
Well, I appreciate your stand, and we love and appreciate you and all that you're doing. And I would just ask everyone to keep praying for us out here, that we have wisdom and how to stand and how to maneuver these times. And we just need to see some victories, whether it's in the hearts of people, number one, but also in the courtrooms and even in upcoming elections and such, because I think there's a growing number of people out here who do not share my faith or yours, but they're becoming disturbed at what's happening to the school systems, the fact that their freedoms are being taken away. So we'll see how this all plays out.
All right. Dr. Paul Chappell, folks, a pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church in California, one of the largest churches in that area. Also the president of West Coast Baptist College, a fine school. Dr. Chappell, take care.
Thank you. Take care, Todd.
I shouldn't have said that about Avery.
I'm fired up now, Todd.
Just but you're wait. Righteously indignant. I think the pastor said it's okay to be righteously indignant about that.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I have to tell you guys the story. People always ask me, why are you a member of a church in California? Because I'm not in California. And years ago, I was giving a speech in Washington, D.C. And many of you know I have this mechanical heart valve, and I got a bad ticker. And so anyway, after my speech, I collapsed, and they had to rush me to the hospital in the middle of Maryland. And when I woke up in the hospital, Dr. Chappell was there. He had been there for the event and did not leave my side until I was released from the hospital. And it was the most moving experience for me and really impacted me. And we've become very good friends over the years. And he's just a good man. And there's a lot of wisdom in what he says. Yes, it's okay to be righteously indignant. But at the same time, and I alluded to this in the last hour, you know, it's one thing to be righteously indignant. It's another to go out there and intentionally poke the bear. And we try not to do that on this radio show. We are not successful all the time, but we try. We try to avoid that and talk about the issues that matter and also try to have a little bit of fun. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Oh boy, a little bit of news here coming from the White House. President Trump says that he's going to bring back the coronavirus briefings. And starting tomorrow, Tuesday, 5 o'clock Eastern time, the president says that, hey, look, we had record ratings, so we're going to bring back the briefings. No word if Fauci and Dr. Birx are going to be there. You know, I like Dr. Birx. A lot of ladies around town were wearing the scarves. You know, that's kind of her signature thing there. And the president says we've had some big flare-ups of the virus in Texas and Florida, so he's bringing back the coronavirus, the China virus briefings. I know call screener Avery has been monitoring our social media platforms all during the show. I mean, a lot of you folks are weighing in today. Avery, what are folks talking about?
Yeah, so I've been going through the live stream looking at some of the comments that we've been getting there. And so I found this. I found two comments that I thought were really good. And the first one is was written by Alan Pretty. I believe I said that correctly. People with basic education in the good old days are far smarter than the majority who graduated in the past 3 or 4 decades. 10 plus 10 still equals 20. It's that simple. It's the progressive propaganda being spewed in the classroom that is the real crime. We also have Pat Mercer. I believe I also said that correctly. So sad. Were many of the founding fathers flawed? Yes, but they still created the finest democracy in the world. We have to forgive the flaws, not forget them. We have wallowed in guilt way too long. The Confederacy lost. They behaved as if they were victims, not the original aggressors that had victimized an entire population in their greed. Our apology for that was to wage a war to right that wrong. Germany faced their past and determined to never let that happen again. Everybody put on your big person panties and move on. I really like that last part.
Big boy pants. Well, yeah. Look, great comments out there. And you know, look, we've got some, we really do have some of the best, some of the most intellectual listeners in all of talk radio listening to this program. So you never know when call screener Avery might read one of your comments on live on the radio. Or you can simply call in. And it's an interesting point the first person made, that people, that Americans who are older are probably learned more and are more educated than modern day kids. Because these days it's all about the woke education. I mean, you've got kids graduating high school now and they can't tell you if they're a boy or a girl. They have no idea. They start grade school, they know if they're a little boy or a little girl, but by the time they graduate, they don't have a clue. So, no, I'm not making this up. The stories are out there all the time. I'm just telling you. So as we go to break here, David Barton is coming up, a great historian. And we're going to ask him about this survey, this Fox survey, that shows right around, 62, 63% of Americans, only 62 or 63%, think our founding fathers were good, decent guys. But beyond that, I am curious, do you agree that older Americans learned more in school than the kids are learning nowadays? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, a lot of new listeners out there, want to welcome everybody to the program. Now is a great time to head over to the Todd Starnes website. You got to check out the show store. We have all sorts of great stuff, incredible merch, as the young people call it these days. That's merchandise, merch for you to buy. So politically incorrect T-shirts, hats. We've got some great coffee mugs. Blessed, Not Bitter, my favorite coffee mug. And, of course, happy to autograph any of my books just for you, ToddStearns.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. I've told you time and time again, you got to bookmark this website, wallbuilders.com. Wallbuilders.com. Probably one of the most important websites that you need to check out, aside from the Todd Starnes Show page. That's ToddStearns.com. Our good friend David Barton is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And David, it really is just a great website. I am there all the time. As a matter of fact, I ordered some books last night. You guys have so many great resources when it comes to American history and teaching what this country is really all about.
Thank you, Todd. That certainly is a passion we have, and it's a passion largely because what I was taught in school is almost exactly opposite to what actually happened in history. And so when I saw how bad, my gosh, I got white hair, so this goes back a ways. You know, we've been kind of messing up history for a good bit. But when I saw how different actual history was from what I'd been taught, that's what really got me passionate about being able to get back into the original documents and make sure people knew what these guys actually said, who they were, what they actually did, as opposed to the sound bites and memes that we often get today.
David Barton is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line from wallbuilders.com. David, there's a big survey from Fox News. 63% say the country's founders are heroes. 15% say they are villains. Another 15% says, well, it really depends. And 7% say they are unsure. I think we ought to be concerned by those numbers because I think it's giving us some insight into what they're teaching our kids in public schools.
Yeah, it is. And actually, the crosstabs and the demos of the poll are really even significant. By the way, what I think is very good about this poll is it was done with the collaboration of a Democrat group and a Republican group. And within the poll, you see that those that are more hostile to founding fathers tend to be Democrats, tend to be liberals, and tend to be younger folks. So those demographics are hostile to founders and older folks, and actually it's kind of split in other things, but it tends to be age-related as much as anything. And so that, you know, on that side, you've got a Republican and older folks, you know, polling firm that would represent kind of them versus one that would represent Democrats. And the two of them agree that by a 4-1 margin, the founding fathers are still favorable today, which I find that absolutely good news considering the amount of earned media that has gone in the last 3 months to denigrate and tear down the founding fathers. I was actually very impressed that not only the founding fathers, but it was a much higher percentage about leaving alone the statues of Jefferson and Washington, because those two guys have been the ones targeted probably the most. And so this, in many ways, this is good news. But on the other side, as you indicated, this shows an indication of what is being taught in the classroom, in that the younger you are, the more opposed you are to the founding fathers, which this also overlays with the stuff we're seeing on anti-capitalism and pro-socialism and pro-Marxism. Same kind of stuff coming out of an age group. So it does say a lot about our education system.
David, what's the end goal here? I mean, you're teaching kids, or, you know, they're being taught in public schools. Our founding fathers, very bad people. You've got the cultural jihad, as I call it, happening in libraries and art galleries and statues of monuments coming down. What ultimately do you think is the end goal for this crowd?
Well, the end goal is you cannot be something different if you like who you were. You have to reject who you were in order to become something different. As long as we look at America and say, you know what, these guys gave us the most stable country in the history of the world. The average length of a constitution in the history of the world is 17 years. Ours is 233. We are by far the most prosperous. We are by far the most free, et cetera. If you're going to get people to reject that, you have to make them bad and dislike their history and dislike those who gave you that. So you get off of the sense of looking at the good and you focus on the bad, even if you have to make it up. Now, this is the other significant thing, is you can't suddenly come out and start making up bad things. And the way this happens historically, and we've seen this for the last 30 years, is what you have to do is you have to go silent for a while, and then you come back up with something different. So we can't say the founding fathers are bad if we're still teaching them. What we do is we stop teaching them, and we let that happen 20 or 30 years, and then when everyone really doesn't know who they are much, then we come back about how bad they are with little pieces of the death by a thousand cuts. We'll get this quote out of context or this statement out of context or whatever. And so that's the way this has been. This is not a new thing. This has been going literally for several decades. We've watched it in the curriculum as we started saying more about Marilyn Monroe than we did George Washington. That was a big thing 20 years ago. Well, now that we don't talk about Washington at all, now we can remake him into something very evil and very wicked, and we need to get rid of this country in order to have something good. And so that is a consistent pattern you can see throughout history.
So a lot of parents listening to us right now, and they're probably wondering, well, okay, where do I go? You know, what resources can I use to make sure I'm teaching my kid a correct version of American history?
Yeah, it's a great question. And a correct version, there are some good books out there. They go to primary source documents. Of course, Wall Builders does. We own 120,000 documents from before 1812, so we document original sources like crazy. But there's also some good professors out there, Mark David Hall, Dan Drysdale. They all take everything back to original sources. So what you're looking for, first of all, is something that goes to original sources with heavy documentation from that period rather than quoting each other in a circular logic kind of thing like so many professors do today. The other thing that is very, very helpful is study American history in a biographical form. Rather than looking at just dates, names, and places, look at the stories of these guys. Look at more than just the sound bites and the biographical resume you get. Look at actual stories. And so there are some great biographies out there, but what we recommend is that people go to books.google.com, Google Books, which has millions of old books online. And if you start reading biographies from before, say, 1900, because there's really nothing new about George Washington. We've known the stuff about him for forever because he's got 100 volumes of writings. So read biographies from old books, and you get a whole different view of history, much more accurate view of history. You didn't have the historical agendas competing at that point in time as you do now. So those are things that we recommend.
You know, I'm a huge Reagan fan, and when I was working on my library, I went to the Reagan Library in California, and I literally bought every book they had about Reagan. I knew that those books would be fairly reliable if they're being sold at the Reagan Presidential Library.
You know, the one caveat I would put to that is you can't do that with Thomas Jefferson presidential stuff. Monticello really doesn't like Jefferson. They're into tearing him down now. Just unbelievable claims that their tour guides are now making. You come away from Monticello not liking Thomas Jefferson at all. You know, one of the biggest things out there is Jefferson fathered children of slave Sally Hemings, and DNA proves it. Well, actually, they never used Jefferson's DNA in the test. And we talked to the guy who did the test, Dr. Eugene Foster, who did it twice and said, nope, DNA doesn't prove that. That's not what it is. Doesn't matter. They're still claiming that, trying to denigrate Jefferson in so many areas. That's just one. So Reagan Presidential Library, they really do like Reagan there. Mount Vernon really does like George Washington. And those are the places you want to go. But Monticello, they definitely don't like Jefferson anymore.
Hey, David, real quick, I know you guys are super busy this summer. You have started leadership training for college kids. Tell our listeners about this. This is pretty fascinating stuff you guys are doing there.
Yeah, actually, we just started another session this morning. We have kids come in from across the country, 18 to 25-year-olds. They're going into college. They're in college or in their postgraduate work. And for 2 weeks, we will inundate them with original documents, original writings, and they will get the apologetics not only of American history, and we present the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's plenty of all of that. We don't just one side. But we also will do the apologetics on economics. We'll do the apologetics on faith and morality, the apologetics on America, so that these guys will come out knowing exactly what is right and wrong, how to find truth, how to verify it. And Todd, the most amazing thing to me, and I love this, every single year we have kids that go back and literally convert their professors. They learn how to ask questions, and they do so in such a way that the professors can't answer the questions, and they come to a different conclusion when they actually look up the facts. So it is a really cool training program we have.
I just think this is terrific. Well, we're huge fans here at this program, David. I wish you had a discount for us, though. You know, the books... I'm just kidding.
I love it.
Yeah, that, you know, you're looking for a bargain.
That's what we got. We're Republicans. That's what we do, right? Conservatives? That's us.
God bless capitalism. No, seriously, what you guys are doing is so, so important, and it really is education, training up that next generation of American patriots. So, folks, I would encourage you, go to wallbuilders.com, check out what they've got there, and look, let's take this country back. David, God bless you, and best of luck to you out there.
Todd, we appreciate you and partnering with you. We love what you do. Thank you, brother. Keep doing it.
All right. Good guy right there, David Barton. He and I have had a chance to, if you haven't had a chance to hear him speak, unbelievable. His presentations are so amazing, so informative, and very fast-paced, too. So it's great stuff. David Barton from Wall Builders. And again, this is part of what we do as a radio show, folks. You can complain all you want to, but we'd like to also provide solutions. And the solution to education is making sure that your kids are getting the right information. They're being fed the right stuff. By the way, before we go to break, Melba from Arkansas, she didn't want to come on the air, but she asked a pretty fair question. Why are we wanting schools to open back up if all they're going to do is brainwash the kids? That's a terrific question, Melba, and we may open that up to the phone lines. 844-747-8868, toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And Caleb and Avery, I don't mean to make you a little envious here, but if you go to the Instagram, Todd Starnes FNC, the Instagram, got a little gift from Augusta National. The one of the caddies over at Augusta National, big fan of the radio program, and made me a custom putter.
Oh, wow. It's a Tennessee putter.
It's a beautiful, isn't that a beautiful shade of orange?
Well, you know, it's
Tennessee orange.
That inside of a pumpkin color.
Got the name on there and the Tennessee Volunteers. And even someone gave me a lovely Tennessee pillow for the office here at the Southern Command.
Is it a MyPillow?
It's not a MyPillow. It's a Tennessee pillow.
Oh, you need to talk to make some phone calls, because I bet you could probably get Mike Lindell to get you a Tennessee MyPillow.
Yeah.
Hey, that might be something. That would be pretty cool. We could start something here. A trend. So thank you to the great folks over at Augusta National. You guys are just awesome. And I promise you, the putter is being displayed prominently in the office here at Southern Command. All right, let's get to the phone. So Melba from Arkansas wanted to know, why are we so keen on reopening the schools when all they're going to do is indoctrinate the kids? Well, Steve from Sherwood, Arkansas, wants to weigh in on that question. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to comment. This kind of goes back to some of the other things that you were talking about. Are you familiar with Charlotte Iserby? She worked in the Secretary of Education Department under Reagan. She wrote a book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. It is an amazing book, and she has predicted everything that's been going on in the education system as a plan, and considers our education system a Marxist education system. Since the standardized testing, companies like UNESCO, she actually has a website called the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.com, where you can go and find out all of this information, and all of her milestones have been hit, and she's been warning us for a very long time. So this is no surprise. It should be no surprise to all of us. Considering our university systems, where our children are going, we really need to be aware of what is being taught in our schools.
Steve, before we don't hang up after the end of our conversation, because I want to make sure we get that info. And Avery, we'll post a link to that in the live show blog. You know, this is a big problem, this intentional dumbing down of America. And how just sheer ignorant young people are coming. And we're talking about millennials. We're talking about the Generation Zers. I mean, they really are ignorant of American history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not by accident. That is the issue that's most scary to me, that it is completely not by an accident that this is occurring.
And Steve, when you look at world history, this is, you know, the best way to implement a new way of life, a new form of government, or to borrow a phrase from Barack Obama, the best way to fundamentally transform a nation is to do it by having an ignorant population, because you can control stupid people a whole lot better than you can control an educated populace.
That's correct. I think that's where we're moving with the mass, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of science out there that tells us that actually the masks do not work. It is not the masks. A lot of people are considering it to be a fecal matter, and just because our hands are dirty and we're sometimes very filthy human beings. But there's two ladies in Michigan who speak about the masks, and they work for OSHA, and they have credentials that are amazing. And this is education, because that is part of it. Who are we listening to? What science are we listening to? It's all tied in. It all ties in together. We need to be more vigilant, more aware, do our research, listen to the people who are actually doctors. Their specialization is not in PPE. If they were, then they would be working for OSHA. Their specialization is being a doctor. That's their education. So, and this goes to history, it goes to science, climate science. It's all tied together, and we really need to be aware.
Steve, it's good stuff you have to say there, and you're right. And honestly, I've been telling folks, if you can homeschool your kid, homeschool the kid. If you can get the kid into a private Christian school, and even then, you got to be careful. You know, with the private schools, I mean, they can be just as far left as the public schools. So you got to be smart. But most importantly, moms and dads, you need to be quizzing your kids, and you need to be finding out what they're teaching your kids. And you need to be setting the record straight. That is your job as a mom, a dad, a grandma, grandpa, aunt, and uncle. Steve, great call, and thanks for listening to us. So there you have it, folks. This is not rocket science. We just have to pay very close attention to what's happening in those public schools. So look, coming up the next hour, talking a little bit of politics. Also, Jerry Falwell Jr. dropping by. They have filed a $10 million lawsuit against the New York Times. Oh, did you hear about this one, by the way? Michael Goodwin over at the New York Post, great writer. He did his homework. He did an investigation. Turns out the owners of the New York Times, yeah, they didn't own just newspapers. Apparently, they also owned slaves. Slaves. So what does that mean for the future of the New York Times? The old gray lady, a slave owner. Jeez, Lou, that's going to throw a wrench in the narrative over there. Also, Joe Biden. You know, Chris Wallace sat down with the president over the weekend. Don't know if you caught that. We've got some of the audio from that interview coming up. Chris Wallace says that Biden never said anything about defunding the police, but we, ladies and gentlemen, on the Todd Stearns radio program, we have evidence that Joe Biden did, in fact, say that. And we're going to play that audio coming up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.